And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shorten.
And I'm Andy Hall. And on today's show, sock wrestling.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yes, it really is as funny as it sounds.
Transcend.
The organiser of this three-day festival for trans and non-binary people will be here live.
And of course, it's time for our monthly podcast from Just Like Us.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. I can do it because Lara's not here. So, hello.
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 How is everyone?
I'm good. Hello, Trouble.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Now you want to talk to me.
Yeah, when you're kind of like doing the intro to a show and you got headphones on, I can't hear a word you're saying when you talk to me.
You told me you could lip read.
I can lip read. You've got a microphone
you
in
go.
Your face.
It's very difficult to lip read if something's there in front of you.
I know, yeah. Get that problem a lot.
I heard that.
So anyway, happy new year, because I haven't been here yet this year.
Am you?
No.
Well, it's not
we
our fault.
You. Oh, yeah. I was really, really ill, so it wasn't like it was on purpose. It's totally Steph's fault.
Well, we're glad you're well now, so.
Yeah, thank you. I had a few weeks away from where I shouldn't recovered.
Wow.
Love you.
Come
anyway,
on,
guess what year it is.
No. Really? You're going to tell us what year it is?
No, I don't mean that. It's 2020.
90,000 listeners out there on the edge of their seat just waiting to hear you tell us the year.
Let me rephrase. Jeez. What started 10 years ago this year?
This year?
Hmm. And nothing to do with you?
Your sex life?
That was blow the belt.
What happened 10 years ago to that? Not today, 10 years ago this year.
10 years ago this year, back at the, I think it was the end of May or beginning of June.
It was beginning of June.
June, I was sat listening at my desk on my lunch break to this show because it was the first one.
It was. Yeah.
20 minutes as well, wasn't it, on Steve Satan show?
Well, officially it was 30, but yeah, yes. It had that funny like top and tail beginning, so yeah, you were lucky if you got 20 minutes. But to be fair, I think we did five shows before the station manager at the time, Phil, was like, yeah, no, really like it. Do you want to do an hour? And we're like, okay. And then we moved to Thursday where we are now. So, and in fact, a few years ago, Pat, who's our now station manager, was like, love it. Do you want to do 2 hours? We're like, no, I can't do 2 hours. So I'd love doing 1 hour. But we'll be celebrating this year.
Yeah, it'll all be really, really jolly. Let's see, shall we get the party poppers out?
Well, yeah, but we're luckily Terry wasn't a microphone for that.
No. I don't think that's quite repeatable on air.
No. Anyway, now we're kicking off talking about socks. We got a friend of the show come back. Welcome back, Zook. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pretty tired. I'm going to try and not yawn in the microphone.
So, well, are we allowed to like take off our socks and throw them at you then if you start falling asleep or something?
I mean, yeah, do whatever you need to do.
Now, there are some interviews when you've been doing this show for years that really stick in your mind. And one of them is when we first ever said, we're going to talk about sock wrestling on the radio. And I was like, how on earth is that going to work? But it's one of the funniest events I think we've ever seen. Because I've also, we were trying to figure out which press it was, but I've definitely seen it in some of the press with all the photos and like, we know what it is because we've talked to you before, but if listeners are listening and have gone like, what on earth is sock wrestling? Do you want to give them a quick explanation as to what
it
is?
Yeah, sure. It's the fourth time that it's happening. Sock wrestling just basically comes down to one game. Each person has one sock and the rest of their clothes, and you wrestle each other.
Isn't that sock wrestling? Nothing else wrestling, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. And you just try and wrestle the other person's sock off before they get your sock off. And it's actually really easy and simple. You you're not really standing up, more just kind of like close to
the soft
mat.
Do you start like sat down?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much really. There's,
so there's
like,
not
some
like a
rules
wrestle and that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. People just get really, really into it. And then just all the types of wrestling and
do the socks
sports
survive
blend.
Though?
No, barely. Yeah. I like this time I'm going to get some socks. So.
Is it like Twister but without the dots?
Yeah. Except it's 1 foot though. That's the thing, isn't it? Because it's one sock.
We had it on like very coloured mats once, and then it was tempting to do it with the colour. But then as soon as you're in it, you just forget about the colours.
No control.
It's just a sock.
Yeah. That's what if you've got ticklish feet?
Well, that makes it even more fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Then you're in
trouble. As I said, my other half would hate it.
This year, you're involving cake.
Yeah.
Now, please tell me how you get socks and cake merging.
Yeah, maybe this was a really bad idea. I don't know. Well,
I'm curious now.
Way.
It's not like the other one's full of cake or something and you get to smack people with it or something, is it?
No, I was just going to do a cake competition just because we do things in between the sock wrestling. We do like a raffle and there's a
cake
competition.
Sock cake? Is it going to be in the shape of a sock?
Well, hopefully. Yeah. I posted a picture of that hoping that people will do that. Absolute best and bring good cake, but I really hope they don't start throwing it at each other. I've got to be out like 12:30. I'm not cleaning all of that up.
So. Well, if you're listening and thinking of attending, just bear that in mind, won't you? So, no, is this just for fun? Is it for charity or?
So we're fundraising for a festival that I'm involved in organising, Transcend Festival. The cake competition
talk to you about
is
a bit,
to raise
aren't
money
we?
As well.
Yeah, so we're not talking about Transcend yet. We're going to do that in our main slot. But curious to find out all about that. So, but yeah, fourth time, isn't it? So it's been quite successful from what I've seen.
Yeah, people really love it. People say that it's their favourite night in Bristol because it's it's really casual. It's like school disco vibes and just like cake and a raffle and sock wrestling. And
might be saying that even more. There's cake up the walls after the next one.
Well, this one is going to be the last one for a while because I'm so busy with organising the festival and like the rest of my life. So you better come down this time.
Perhaps we'll have to get you back on 10th birthday. We could do a sock wrestling 10th birthday. That'd be quite cool.
Could I ask, are the socks any particular type of socks? Is it football socks or sports socks?
Is it your own socks? You bring your own?
Well, I used to, but they just really get wrecked. I'm going to buy maybe some rainbow socks, but they can't be ankle socks and they can't be knee socks because one is too easy and the other one is too hard. So just kind of like mid-range, just like, yeah. But maybe people could make their own versions. I have knee socks if they want to.
I've got visions of old man grey socks that go halfway up your leg at the moment. Is that like the kind of thing we're thinking of? I'm trying to think. I have all the socks I've got. They're either on my ankle or they're like football socks up my leg.
I was going to say that there are a few people I know that particularly like sports socks that are sort of quarter way up, about 6 inches above the ankle. Is it that sort of length sock then?
I mean, I haven't actually thought that much about it.
we're taking geeks. That's what happens, you see.
Shouldn't that be
in
the
end,
rules?
What you can do is...
You thought about it more than we had, because I wouldn't have thought one's too short, too easy, the other one's too long, too hard. So that's really more thought than we'd have put
in the end
it.
Is like, in terms of socks and also the other person, is you can team up with someone and you can give them one of your socks, so then it's equal, and you have to roll up your trousers a bit so that they're not tucked into your trousers. And you can also maybe decide to wrestle a friend who, you know, like it has like bit of the same flexibility, same strength, and just like agree in advance that way.
Could you do doubles?
Have
a sock
one.
Each, but you like strap one arm to the other person's arm, and then you got a wrestler.
We
didn't like
strapping
strap
now.
Any people together. I think that would be a massive hazard. But we have had wrestles of like 10 people all at the same time until the last person remains. Oh. It's very hectic, but also really great. It's usually towards the end of the evening.
Cool. Well, hopefully it'll be a success. The last ones have, and hopefully they'll all behave themselves with cake. Don't invite Steph, because that really will start it off.
I just have a vision of you with your socks on up to your navel. That's not a good thought. I need to talk about something else, please. Now
I don't want to think. About you in socks. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. You are going to stay with us because we're going to talk to you about the Transcend Festival a little bit later on. So, but stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
Shout Out LGBT Radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I will love you.
There you go. That's that's a lovely song, that one. It's called The Vow, and it's by Ruth Ann. So now, people are even texting in about this. Well, we got a little bit carried away talking about socks and types of socks and the like. We forgot the most important bit of all. So when is the event?
Thanks. It's Saturday, the 2nd of February. So it's coming up soon. It's at Eastern Community Centre from 8 till midnight.
Cool. Fab. Have you got a book in advance or just turn up? Or?
Just turn up. Donation on the door. Bring you can cake. Find the event on Facebook.
Bring
Get
socks.
Your socks off.
Bring, for... Do you need to bring your own socks?
You can if you want to, but I'll provide some. And I hope you'll be wearing socks as well.
Well, yes. Yeah. But you might like buy a footy socks and then that's cheating, isn't it? You know, so.
Toe socks.
Toe socks. Cool. Anyway, right, it's time to get some news headlines. Hello, Hans.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, and the lovely Terry, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
So, I don't know if everyone heard your joke earlier about party poppers.
Yes. Should we let people just imagine what it might have been?
Yes. So, anyway, should we get some news headlines?
You're more than welcome. This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 16th of January.
In the race to cash in on New Year's sales, it's interesting to see that LGBTQ products are flying off the shelves at a number of retailers, showing the buoyancy of the much-reported pink pound, even in these times of economic and political uncertainty. In Bristol, HMV have moved previously mentioned new LGBTQ sections to the ground floor as part of a major display. The films available include historical documentaries, dramas, contemporary fiction and icons, including a biopic of Grace Jones. Meanwhile, Card Shack in the arcade is one of the city's largest independent retailers of greeting cards and associated paraphernalia, such as fridge magnets and wrapping paper. They stock a range of drag queen themed humorous cards, playing on the cheeky titles that local queens give themselves. The shop also sells mature themed joke cards and the ever popular reappropriated Ladybook book images on cards. Not to be outdone, however, the Scribbler in Cabot Circus is also stocking a range of LGBTQ friendly and adult only themed cards. Their store is located next to Flying Tiger.
Now, the race for the London Mayor is on. The capital city will go to the polls during mid-May to elect the leader of one of the most diverse and populous cities on Earth. The incumbent, Labour's Sadiq Khan, will face stiff opposition from a slate of other candidates representing a wide variety of opinion across the political spectrum. Sean Bailey is the hopeful for the Conservative Party. He has been endorsed by the LGBTQ group within the Conservative Party, known as LGBT Tory. For those of you who don't know, Tory is a colloquial term for the Conservative Party in the British Parliament. It comes from an 18th century word referring to a highwayman or robber, a Toryer. The name stuck and is widely used in Britain today. Anyway, Bailey told the popular gay newswire Pink News that Mr. Khan's anti-crime policies had failed to protect Londoners. In a bid for the votes of LGBTQ people, Mr. Bailey said that homophobic crime fighting should be a priority and that, like race and religious hate crimes, offences against LGBTQ people need to be severely punished, with the courts taking into account the bias that fuelled the crime. His remarks were welcomed by those sections of the LGBTQ communities who have expressed concern over the rise in reported homophobic and transphobic abuse in the capital in the last few years, and some took it to mean that any future Bailey-led administration would more robustly enforce equalities laws.
Lizzo has been riding high in the charts with her upbeat bop pop standard Good As Hell. If you are a listener to any popular music, TV or radio channels, you cannot have failed to be to have been moved by its poppy sensibility and pro-woman, pro-body diversity and pro-enjoyment message. Jillian Michaels is a fitness fanatic who identifies as queer and criticised Lizzo on a social media website, making an unsubstantiated claim on Lizzo's shape and her likelihood of developing diabetes. Michaels was slammed by many people, including much of the LGBTQ media. The respected gay magazine The Advocate, published in Los Angeles every week, said that Michaels did not speak for the majority of the LGBTQ movement, which they said recognised Lizzo's talent and the necessity of her image.
Now, we're always happy to report more forays by LGBTQ people into the media, as building a strong presence is good for our community and makes a contribution to our shared culture. Jason Darcy is well known from the Bristol, Brighton and Manchester gay scenes, where he hosts several nights, including Euphoria. And now he brings his Euphoria brand to local radio, with our partner station Bradley Stoke Radio carrying the show of the same name from 10 p.m. on alternate Saturday nights. Mr. Darcy will be playing camp disco tracks, high-energy dance music, euphoric Eurobeat, Eurovision music, plus continental styles such as Schlager, which is a type of dance band music fusing traditional and modern musical forms, which is popular in Germany, the Netherlands and Belgium. Jason Darcy also maintains a lively site on Mixcloud, where he uploads remixes, dance music and various selections for your listening pleasure. There are dance music, Eurobeat and Eurovision compilations to explore, so pop along to his site and take a listen.
Disabled rights campaigners have given a mixed response to the news, widely reported by such websites as Digital Spy, that The Joker, the movie that showed the development of the master crime genius who faces down Batman in the fictional universe created by DC Comics, has been slated for a slew of accolades at the Winter Entertainment Awards season. The movie has been praised in some circles for showing a more understandable history of the arch-villain as a man with mental health and possibly neurological differences, and who eventually is pushed into outright insanity by the cruelty of the system under which he lives. Some people have even interpreted this version of the Joker as a nihilistic hero, gaining revenge on a heartless society. Others are less sure, feeling that even as an anti-hero, the Joker sends a message out to the public that people with mental health issues are a possible source of danger.
And finally, RTE Radio 1, which is the chief public service radio network in the Republic of Ireland, reports that the gay Prime Minister, known as the Taoiseach, has dissolved Dáil Éireann, that is the Dublin Parliament, and that a general election will take place on Saturday the 8th of February. RTE says that this will be the first time since the inaugural 1918 general election that the Irish state has held an election on a Saturday. Mr Leo Varadkar, who is Ireland's first openly gay premier and is also dual heritage, is hoping that the Saturday election will motivate young people to continue their involvement in politics initiated by their voting for same-sex marriage and abortion law reform in recent years. Now, we'll bring you some more news on Ireland's election soon. In the meantime, you can find RTE Radio 1 on many cable TV packages, online and on longwave 252 kHz.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Perry.
Shout out news,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
See, I was being nice. I thought I'd put that one on for you, Hans.
Did I used to be someone you loved, Andy?
No, I just know you like Lewis Capaldi.
Or Luke, you know, as I repeatedly call him. I love that Luke Capaldi. Yeah.
No, that is Lewis Capaldi, and that is called Someone You Loved, which is a lovely song.
Yes, it is
lovely.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Yeah, I've gone a bit kind of like down tempo today. Have you noticed? Mm. It's not me. I think it's too much listening to Handbags and High Heels. So.
Yeah,
so I need a bit of a chill out. That's what may be better. So
maybe anyway. Some steps next week.
Yeah, we can do steps.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bit of 5, 6, 7, 8 in the studio.
Yeah,
and a bit of sock grabbing at the same time. Dangerous at all, is it?
I was going to say, are you sure you want some steps? Do you not want some 5 as well?
I love 5. I really, genuinely. So, yes.
Slam dunk the funk.
Yeah, putting it up, I've got that feeling.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
Mm. Big fan.
This is all going on. You're looking,
I was going to say. Oh, I think it's a generational thing.
Five,
isn't it?
What were 5? Early 2000s pop group?
No, late 90s.
Oh, late 90s. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was the sort of, I think lots of us had crushes on certain people from Abs. Farm. Yes.
I couldn't possibly admit it.
Abs now owns a farm.
It was Blue I liked. And then when we met them at Pride a few years ago, I was so starstruck I could actually interview him.
Well, Duncan is rather handsome.
Yeah, he is.
Anyway, we're digressing. So we're actually going to talk about a festival. Would it be right to call it a festival?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
It's called Transcend. Mm-hmm. Give us some idea. What's the plan? What's it about? What's going to go on?
Okay, so we really wanted to organise a festival for trans, non-binary and intersex people.
Right.
So kind of different than Trans Pride that happens in Bristol and in Brighton. Just having a weekend event that is in a field with camping and performers there and create like a little bubble for people to hang out.
Oh, so, cool.
Proper festival vibes. Yeah.
So where have you found somewhere to have it then?
Yeah. It's an hour from Bristol, like an hour drive. But we're kind of keeping the location secret so far.
Ah, okay. So. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. But we're within an hour commute because we go quite far. See, we go quite far south and we go across and the like. So it may be a little bit. But can people find out though if they? I mean, I know you want to keep it a secret, but if it's Froome and it's 2 or 3 hours, they may or may not. But can they find out through you or through a website or?
So we've got a website, transcendfestival.com, I hope.
quick,
I'm going
Google
to have
it.
A look.
Or Transcend Festival 2020 on Facebook.
Right.
I think we'll...
Oh, so they can ping you a message through that then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think what we'll probably do is like reveal the location when people get tickets, but that all the accessibility info is already online.
Cool.
So people will know if it's like suitable for them and if they can get there.
Cool. So have you kind of like planned out what's going to happen over the days or is it just kind of a bit of a free-for-all? Or?
So, yeah, we're hoping to have music, performances, workshops and lots of services like sauna and massage and like good wholesome stuff. But we're doing the programming at the moment and at the end of this month, hopefully, we'll open up applications as well. So people can apply to do a performance or a workshop or provide a service and then get in for free that way.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
Will you need your wellies to come along to this, or will you be able to sort of
drag someone? Well, it's kind of English weather, I suppose. I hope not.
It's the first weekend of June. It's kind of before all the other bigger festivals start. Hopefully, already the weather will be good enough. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's the first time it's happening, because so surely it won't rain.
No, you never know. Does that mean you've had to put like contingency? So is there things like, are you going to have like marquees or tents and the like as kind of backup? So.
Yeah, we'll have marquees. I really want to make sure that there's one space that is heated as well. But yeah, we've just like applied for funding. And
I think
like,
it's called a sauna, is it not?
Just like cram everyone in the sauna. Yeah.
Sounds like a party.
It might be good fun doing that.
I guess like if you have enough people in the marquee as well, then probably just like body heat will keep everyone warm.
Cool. So is it? Well, it's a couple of days, is it?
Yeah. So it's the 5th till the 7th of June.
Oh, okay. Weekend. So it's a right. Cool. So is it on site like camping type thing?
Mm-hmm.
So would I need to bring my own tent, or is you planning on providing stuff, or how's that
going to work? So I think it depends. Like there will be just regular camping where you bring your tent and your material and hopefully some really comfy stuff to sleep on. And then there's we've reserved the glamping units with quotation marks for to be more accessible camping, so they'll have beds in them already. So we're not going to like make them more expensive, just like people with like either bad back or whatever other access needs might really need those spaces to make camping easier. So we'll have that available as well.
Oh, nice. Cool. So give me some idea of the background behind, because it's not something I'm as familiar with. What was the kind of like need to make some space and what's the reasoning behind it?
So I went to some kind of like political gathering or like an activist gathering with my partner, and it was pretty much the same setup, like camping and workshops, and it just, as trans people, we felt really unrepresented there. There's like not enough about us, not enough with us. And when we came away and sat on the bus, we were just like, we'll just make our own. Whoops. Bleep it, we'll make our own. And like then started creating our own festival. Just to make our own space and really put trans performers on stage and make sure that we're the voice at that weekend.
That sounds like a really, really nice thing, doesn't it?
When did you start sort of coming up with the ideas for it? Was this sort of a year in the making by now?
Yeah, quite a while ago. We wanted to make it happen last year in May. And we only started organising kind of in October the year before. And then we suddenly were like, well, this is way bigger. So it's been more than a year. Just bringing a group together and forming a group to organise with takes quite a while.
Yeah. How many people are there that are sort of co-organising?
I think depends. Like a core group can be like 8 people, and then there's people who dip in and out because we want to be really mindful of people's capacity as well. Yeah.
There's no mean feat to organise a festival, is it? It takes an awful lot to put on.
Yeah. And also getting the money together to do it. So much time goes towards finding the money.
Cool. Well, if people want to find out more, what's the best way for them to go about it?
If they're on Facebook, or maybe I think if you're not on Facebook, you can even still look this up. It's Transcend Festival 2020. And that's where like most of our info is, a link to the website as well. And on the website, we have most of our info as well, which is again, what is it? transcendfestival.com.
Well, we'll put the links on our website too when it goes out there. And just very quickly, give the dates out again.
57th of June, it's that Friday to Sunday.
Cool, it's mad to be thinking about summer when it's so
cold.
Yeah,
I know, it's exciting stuff.
Isn't it? So.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, it is.
That and sock wrestling, yeah. Get your sock wrestling in first.
Will there be sock wrestling?
It too.
Yeah. Sorry, Andy, I was just saying, will there be sock wrestling there?
Hopefully.
That'd be quite cool.
Just keep on the tradition. And so then maybe the next sock wrestling event doesn't have to be the last one.
Yeah, definitely.
But the cake bit of it's to be decided depending on how well it goes at the next stop wrestling here at Eastern Community Centre, isn't it? Anyway, it's been lovely to catch up with you again, and I hope both the stop wrestling and the festival go well. You have to come back nearer the time and we'll put out a reminder. And perhaps if we can get someone along, we'll try and get some audio and you can tell us how it went afterwards.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you.
Cool. Anyway, right, stay with us. Still to come, we're going to be catching up with JLU, but we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
Just like us, for LGBT young people.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, James.
How are you doing? It's 2020.
Yeah, new decade, new podcast episode. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Have you got any New Year's resolutions?
I've decided a new tact this year is I'm going to try lots of different resolutions and hope that one sticks.
Ooh, just at least one win.
Yeah. Maybe I'll read more. Maybe I'll learn to juggle. What about you?
I love this. So I think I told you about this. My resolution is to read one book.
Ah, yes. High hopes.
Achievable goals.
While you're literally doing a degree as well.
While I'm doing a degree. I am doing a degree. I tend to forget that. My resolution is to have a great year.
You know what? I think that should be everyone's resolution. And I think you just inspired me.
Yeah. What are we talking about this month?
I thought you'd never ask. This month we're discussing National Storytelling Week, which is actually the first week of February. So the 1st to the 8th. But we're getting in early. And we thought it fits really well with like Just Like Us and everything that we do. So we thought we'd come and have a natter about it.
Yeah, just because I definitely think Just Like Us is obviously like the work that we do in schools is like very much a storytelling platform.
Yeah, definitely.
In that like most of the assemblies and like workshops we do is like our LGBT ambassadors telling stories about like their lives growing up as LGBT young people. And I think it really gives a unique like perspective on it. It can really help relate why these issues are so like important.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
I didn't realise until we were doing our Just Like Us training, I didn't realise how much of like an actual story I had, you know what I mean? Because you just live it and you never think to piece it together and kind of think, oh, okay, who were my first celebrity crushes? How did this influence how I, you know, and how I move through life? And what were the little moments that kind of built, and what do I consider important in my story as? And I think that's something that's nice to look back on regardless of whether you're LGBT, but in terms of being LGBT, it can have such an impact and a message with it.
I think it can be really healing to like tell your own story, because like you said, like having to think about it and structure it makes you realize that you're more impressive than you thought you were, if you know what I mean.
Like you think, wow, I actually got through some stuff.
Yeah, like because when you're 13, you know, you feel like this is life, like this is what life is always like for everybody. And now looking back on being 13 and 14, I'm like, oh God, how did I do that?
Definitely.
Like that was so grim all the time. Yeah. And I think, yeah, like looking back on those stories now in order to tell them to other people, it can be quite like, oh, actually, like I can now process some of the stuff that happened.
Definitely. And beyond just like your own story, like hearing other people's stories can be great, because one, you either hear a completely different perspective from yours and you're like, wow, this is what this person was going through and this is how it affected them, and it's so crazy that everyone in the world has a completely different story. That blows my mind on a daily basis, but I won't spiral. but also you can recognize parts of, you know, what is like a gay experience or an LGBT plus experience, and kind of recognize that in other people's stories and kind of relate to them. And I just think that's so lovely that there's like a kind of like a base layer that like a lot of LGBT people experience that is the same and that we all have in common. I think also if you think about representation in terms of like the media, sometimes you can get very extreme situations of coming out. And I think when I was growing up, if being LGBT was mentioned in any way in the media, it would be that it was this thing that you were ashamed of, and then if you came out, then it would be horrible, or your mum's crying over it, you know? It's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Versus if we have these kind of more normalized stories of like people where they came out and it was a big deal, but also there's more of a development, and also sometimes for some people it's not a big deal, and for some people it is very easy.
Yeah.
And I think just having that variety of experiences being told in schools, I think if I'd had that in my school, like it would have just been so like life-changing, I think. Like it would have like really made me think and think that maybe things aren't so bad.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So, for National Storytelling Week, we had, very thankful to some of our JLU ambassadors, who have very kindly submitted some of their stories. So, yeah, we're going to be hearing from them. This section is from one of our ambassadors, Georgia. Thank you very much, Georgia.
So, I didn't actually admit to myself that I like girls until I was 18. I grew up in a small town with very little LGBT plus representation, and I wasn't friends with any other girls who were openly LGBT plus. It left me feeling a bit lost and confused. Before I came out, I wished that nobody had assumed I was straight in the first place. I thought that coming out was going to make my life drastically different, and I remember thinking I could just be happy pretending to be someone that I wasn't, and I'd have an easy life by being who others expected me to be. That was up until I got into a relationship with a girl, and I realised I wanted my family and friends to know about her. I remember the day I told my best friends. I was so anxious. The thing is, my friends have always supported me, and they've never said or done anything to make me think that they'd react negatively. But I just think no matter what the situation is, coming out can be a really daunting experience. There's so much going through your head. But as soon as I told them I had a girlfriend, I just had this massive relief. They didn't make a massive deal out of it. They just reacted the same as if one of them had just told us they had a boyfriend. Later, they did have a few questions about how long I'd like girls for and stuff, but they were always kind and supportive, and they've never made me feel like they viewed me differently after coming out.
Now we're going to hear from Ramses. Thank you so much.
As a kid, I was sent to an all-girls school until year 9. Apart from my brother, I didn't really talk to any boy until I was 13-year-old. That meant that for a long time, I had a quite stereotyped way of thinking about boys, which only came from movies and books. And I thought that gender had to do with what I liked and what I looked like. So what was the difference between feeling like a masculine girl, a tomboy, and feeling like an actual boy? I thought that being a boy meant that I had to look the part, so go to the gym, have muscles, cut my hair, have a deeper voice. At some point, I just wish that I had a magic wand to change everything about myself, so other people could see that I was a man too. But then I started realizing that I was already seeing myself as a man, and that was the answer. I understood that gender wasn't about what I looked like or my hobbies, but it was only about how I felt. And I definitely felt like a boy. I was just trying to find ways to show it to other people as well. And that didn't really mean that I had to change anything about myself, because I'd always been one. And boys can have long or short hair, so I didn't have to cut mine. And boys can like pink or blue, so I could wear them both. And just in general, men come in all different forms and shapes. And the only thing that made me a man is knowing that I am one.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Okay, so thank you so much to all of our contributors this week. We hope you've had a good time, listeners. And we'll see you again shortly.
Yeah, we hope you've enjoyed listening to those stories. See you soon.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye, James.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The music was by Twisteria. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast. Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, that's LP and Lost on You. I love that song.
That's lovely.
Mm. Yeah.
Slightly authorial at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd never heard of LP, and I think one of you dropped a track and ended up in the show. I was like, oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was Hans who introduced us to that artist. I think...
So Hans is a bit busy taking 100 photos.
Yes.
So I think if you're following along live on Facebook, it's...
Sorry? Is LP non-binary?
Yes.
They are non-binary, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. Hello, Terry. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Andy.
I believe you have a statistic for us, is that
I right? do. Do you know that, according to our friends over at the BBC, the number of people diagnosed with HIV in the UK has dropped dramatically in the last 5 years, according to the latest statistics, with rates amongst men who identify as gay or bisexual falling by 73%.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. And also, I think it's perhaps one in the eye for all those homophobes who still sort of say, oh, well, you know, homosexuality spreads, you know, disease and all this kind of stuff that some people still bang on about. It's totally one in the eye for them. Now, campaigners are urging the government to make PrEP even more widely available, because the statistics seem to suggest that the run of
really
PrEP
works,
that's currently working on the NHS has led to this massive reduction in the in the HIV transmission rate amongst gay and bi men.
And it's also worth pointing out, if you're in Bristol or surrounding areas, so like South Gloucester and the like, the NHS trusts that look after you here will send you home testing kits, because I've done one myself, and it's really easy, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home. So if you're not someone that likes to go to the clinic and have tests done, you can now do it in the privacy of your own home. It's posted out in plain packaging. You follow all the instructions, do all the things, and then you pop it back in a post box and you get a text to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's really, really easy.
And a representative from Prepster, which campaigns for PrEP to be freely available on the NHS, said there's still more campaign work to be done, so visit their website, Prepster, online, and you can get involved if you want to do some campaigning.
Or, of course, our friend over at Greg, who runs imonprepnow.co.uk.
Yeah, lovely man.
Yeah.
If you want to hear that, the After Dark show where we talk to him is still on our website.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
Did you also hear about the Coventry Council who've been criticised for comments he made about the education of same-sex relationships in school?
No.
He said that the LGBT community is promiscuous. In an absolutely bizarre outburst in the council office in a meeting.
Okay.
I wish I was still promiscuous, but it's a long time.
Do you know what?
It's a long time.
Do you know what he said as well? That two women kissing is pornography.
It says more about him, to be honest,
I think,
really, doesn't
possibly
it?
That says more about his repressed desires there. I mean, for a lot of repressed straight men, two women.
Yeah, and he said he's always
not necessarily been erotic. Straight men.
You know, indeed.
So it is. Yeah. He said he's also not comfortable in talking about children being taught how to come out as LGBT.
Oh, same old story.
Yeah.
On a completely different subject, by the way. It was really funny. I was chatting to a friend about weird things that people do that can turn into one of those pet hates that just one of those things that really annoys you. And she was saying, I won't mention the university name. Let's pretend it's one here. We're used to Bristol because I don't want to say which one it was. And she was saying that one of the friends that she was at uni with, whenever they would go somewhere and they would say, you know, what's your email address? He'd say, you know, chris@bristol.ac.uc instead of what we normally say, bristol.ac.uk. She's like, why do you keep doing that? She's like, well, that's what it is. It's .ac.uc. So it suddenly occurred to me that we're a studio at shoutoutradio.lugabateur.
Nice one. Yeah.
Or Steph at shoutoutradio.lugabateur.
Yeah. Lugabateur.
Lugabateur.
Yeah. Here's a cracker. I was just reading through what this
You're part of the Lugabateur community.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Let me just get this paragraph in, what this numpty said. Last week,
you're also talking about this guy, are you?
Yeah, I've just read some more. Last week, a friend of mine, who is very broad-minded, this is his words, not mine, telephoned me, has their 13-year-old son had come home from school because his teacher had given them tips.
Tips?
Tips.
On how PG to, tips?
Or? On how to come out as gay.
Well, if that's a gay child that's in that class, and statistically speaking, there will be one in the average class, that teacher's possibly saved a life. So I take the saving of a young person's life and their mental well-being and happiness over the offence caused
certain counsellor.
To an old-fashioned counsellor.
We know what they're like. Certain counsellor here used to say we should jump off wardrobes and stuff, didn't they?
Yes. Those were the days. Yes. Yeah. No longer around.
anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, all the information and podcasts are on our website. Head over to shoutoutradio.lugabateur.
Today's show was produced by Steffi Barnett. Newsreaders were Terry Starr and Hans Peregrine, and presented by myself, Andy Hull, and Andy Shilton.
Join us next week when we catch up with a cast of Rent. But for now, for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.